This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. There's a lot at stake on Election Day, now less than 3 weeks away, and while most attention will focus on control of Congress, voters in 37 states will make decisions on a host of ballot initiatives that, many of them on national issues. In a few places, interest in ballot measures could affect Senate races. In several, there are so many proposals, voters may need a magnifying glass to read all the fine print. The big issues include gay marriage. Amendments defining marriage as solely between a man and a woman are on the ballot in 9 states, and eminent domain. Maine, the government's power to take private property without the owner's consent, that's up in 13 states. There are a variety of proposals on tobacco, gambling, and marijuana, and if you live in Michigan, you'll be asked to check a box on whether dove hunting should be banned. Later, our weekly fix with NPR's political junkie Ken Rudin focuses on home stretch advertising buys. If you have questions about that or any of the races of election 2006, you can send us email now. talk@npr.org is the address. But first, we focus on ballot initiatives around the country. What's the hot issue where you live? The number here in Washington, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. And we begin in California, home of much initiative activity over the years, where Kareem Creighton joins us. He's an assistant professor of law and politics at the University of Southern California Law School. He's also affiliated with USC's Initiative and Referendum Institute, which tracks ballot measures around the country. Kareem Creighton joins us from the studios of member station KUSC in Los Angeles. Nice to have you on the program.
Very good to be with you, Neil.
Gay marriage was the big ballot issue last time around, and some credit it for electing George W. Bush, for reelecting him. This time, it's eminent domain. How come eminent domain is up in so many states?
Well, in most cases, this is a reaction to a recent Supreme Court decision, Kelo, where the court approved the state taking blighted areas for the purposes of allowing private contractors to develop it. Mm-hmm. And a number of interests became very concerned that this could happen anywhere. So there are a lot of initiatives on the ballot to try to stave off something like this happening elsewhere.
In fact, I think the Supreme Court decision said something along the lines of there's nothing in the Constitution to prohibit this, but states can pass laws if they'd like.
Precisely so. And so they're taking the invitation in many of these states to pass initiatives.
And gay marriage amendments, those are basically the same kinds of things that we saw in 2004?
Certainly so. A number of these states have had a number of cases where either the initiatives have been slowed because of court battles, single subject rule and the like. But in many of these cases, states like Tennessee and South Carolina have put them on the ballot, hoping at least to achieve some of the same turnout among conservatives that they achieved in states like Ohio the last time around.
Mm-hmm. And at least in the state of Virginia, where rather unexpectedly the Senate race is pretty tight, gay marriage is on the ballot there and could affect that Senate race.
Absolutely. It turns out that even if initiatives don't have a huge effect on increasing turnout, even a minor effect in a very tight race involving, say, a race for Senate or governor can have a huge effect on who ultimately wins.
And there's the stem cell research initiative that's in the state of Missouri. That could also, another tight Senate race, affect that.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing about the stem cell debate, just as is true for the eminent domain debate, this is mirroring what's going on in the national politics. And a number of people, I think, who find that the federal government hasn't been as responsive in promoting stem cell research have decided to do that on the state level.
Mm-hmm. And is there any way, though, to track how these people who may come out because they feel passionately about dove hunting in Michigan or abortion in South Dakota, to track exactly how their votes are going to go to candidates?
It's hard to say unless, of course, the candidates stake out a position that is exactly the opposite of the candidate they are running against. Mm-hmm. It often helps to have, you know, an extra issue to lambaste the other side with if you're running in a race for senator or governor to link it up to support for an initiative when there's overwhelming support for it, such as in the stem cell debate in Missouri. Mm-hmm. So there are studies that say sometimes it can have an effect, but the return's sort of a mix. Some people say it has a more or less negative effect. Some others would say, well, it's a hugely positive, and it works if you are a candidate who aligns yourself with an otherwise very popular initiative.
If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. We're discussing ballot initiatives across the country. And Claudio's on the line with us from Reno, Nevada.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Listen, my issue is we're supposed to get the initiative of marijuana on the ballot and to hopefully legalize it for medical purposes and even possibly, I think, less than an ounce. What I don't understand is there's so much pushback on this initiative from the people here in the state. They've tried to do it before. They have not been able to do it. And yet we allow gambling and prostitution here, and it's such a great source of tax revenue, especially for medical purposes. You know, that's kind of my gig on that.
Mm-hmm. Kareem Clayton, and Nevada is not the only state where medical marijuana is on the ballot.
Right. I believe that a number of states, I think one of them may be Arizona. They also have a number I think maybe even South Dakota has something like this on the ballot.
I believe it does.
Yes. A lot of these states are reacting to what, again, turns out to be a lack of federal support for medical marijuana to be permitted. And in some of these cases, California is another one of these cases, where in the past initiatives were submitted onto the ballot, the public at large saw it as a sensible plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you'll continue to have this debate between people who think they should be free to be able to use marijuana, particularly when it solves very legitimate medical concerns, and people who think, you know, ceding this ground seeds the entire criminal prosecution of drugs nationally.
And this is another one of those cases, and Claudio, you'll forgive me if I put a national spin on your referendum there in Nevada. Because of the federal government's interpretation of law, no matter what law Nevada passes, even in a referendum, may not change the way people's lives are led in the state of Nevada. Nevertheless, it could affect the national debate on an issue like marijuana reform.
Well, you know, the thing that really bothers me about this whole subject is that this can be controlled. I mean, it can be controlled, and it's no different than someone was drinking and driving. If we had someone, the cop pulls them over, they're suspected of using marijuana, they go down, they take a urine or a blood test, they prosecute them different than they would someone that's on alcohol. And I think that seems to be the big issue here, is not so much legalizing it for medical use and then just opening the door and saying, okay, now we're going to let that be a cause for everyone to use it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just don't see that. I think we can do it responsibly, no different than alcohol. I mean, why isn't that the same thing for alcohol, you know?
Claudio, thanks for the call. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye. We just mentioned South Dakota. Voters in that state will be deciding on several hot-button issues, gay marriage, medical marijuana, yes, and abortion. Bill Richardson joins us now. He's chair of the Political Science Department at the University of South Dakota and joins us from the studios of South Dakota Public Broadcasting in Vermilion. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And marijuana aside, the big issue in the state is whether or not to repeal the state's ban on abortion, known as Referred Law 6. And we have a couple of ads that we want people to listen to on both sides of the issue. Let's listen.
We're all doctors here in South Dakota.
Science now proves that life begins at conception.
Over 96% of abortions performed in South Dakota are for birth control.
Referred Law 6 addresses these situations.
This measure does provide exception for the life and the health of the mother.
And the morning after pill may be taken in any event,
including sexual assault or incest.
Referred Law 6 is a caring approach to protecting women
and limiting abortion performed as birth control in South Dakota.
Abortion stops a beating heart. Vote yes on Referred Law 6.
Confused about the new abortion ban? Get the facts from doctors right here in South Dakota. According to the South Dakota section of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the ban includes no exception for rape victims, no exception for victims of incest, no exception to protect a woman's health. Our state's OBGYNs urge the repeal of this ban that harms the women of South Dakota. Vote no on Referred Law 6. It just goes too far.
And Bill Richardson, interesting, both those ads kept referring to we here in South Dakota, doctors in South Dakota. Are these campaigns being paid for by people in South Dakota?
Well, that'll be a little tough to track until such time as the campaign finance reports begin to trickle in 10 days before the election. What you're seeing, of course, is an attempt by the legislature to craft a law that would quickly make its way to the Supreme Court as a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. A group of South Dakota citizens and others perhaps got together and got an initiative on the ballot to oppose this particular law. And that's what the fight is on over the November 7th election.
And it's drawn considerable interest from people out of state. Again, those who may either want to see this defeated or see it pass and then go on up to the Supreme Court.
That's correct. You've got groups on both sides who see an opportunity to affect a policy one way or the other and are certainly jumping in, and are jumping in with, as you saw, some very good ads on both sides.
And it's strange to think of it, but South Dakota has always, to some degree, been a staging ground, if you will, for issues with national repercussions because of the number of issues that you find on your ballot there.
Well, South Dakota prides itself on the fact that it was the first state in the union to allow for initiatives and referendums back in the late 1800s. It was part of the populist tradition of the state. It was a way of perhaps correcting for legislative inaction or inappropriate legislative action. What has happened now, however, is that small states like South Dakota, where it's easy to get on the ballot, allow interested groups to bypass the legislature completely. That is, they don't have to go through the difficult process of lobbying for a particular measure. They can just get, in this case, 16,000 or 33,000 signatures, depending on whether it's an attempt to overturn a law or an attempt to have a constitutional amendment, and get it as a form of direct democracy, go directly to the people in ways that are perhaps pernicious.
And in a small state like South Dakota, slick advertisements like that, just as expensive to produce, of course, but less expensive to broadcast in the markets up there in South Dakota. Bill Richardson, stay with us, if you would. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be talking more also with Kareem Creighton at the University of Southern California. And we want to hear from you as well. What are the hot-button ballot initiatives where you live this year? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. When voters head to the polls next month, they'll have a lot to think about. There are some 200 ballot initiatives around the country, everything from gay marriage to stem cell research. We'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes. For a list on all the initiatives that will be up for a vote, you can go to the Talk of the Nation page at our website, npr.org. Still with us is Kareem Creighton. He's with the Initiative and Referendum Institute at the University of Southern California Law School in Los Angeles. Of course, you're welcome to join us as well. Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And still with us also, Bill Richardson, chair of the Political Science Department at the University of South Dakota. Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about another issue on the ballot there in your state next month, and that is something our listeners may have heard Nina Totenberg report about this morning on Morning Edition, jail for judges. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is an initiative, actually it's a constitutional amendment that was proposed by a group out in California, and they have decided to try, with the 33,000 signatures required in South Dakota, to change the South Dakota Constitution in what they call a judicial accountability measure, but which really causes judges to be put on trial by 13-member citizen grand juries who can reach back retroactively, that is, 25 years, to decisions that a judge may have made far in the past or that even jurors may have made far in the past, and seek to penalize them in the form of losing portions of their pension, penalize them in very significant ways that would, if enacted, probably bring commerce to a halt relatively soon in South Dakota, because all of us who depend on the sanctity and predictability of contracts would suddenly find that nothing is predictable now.
And two questions about that. Again, an outside group from California, I guess, hoping that this is the first shot in a national campaign?
Well, if they can establish a precedent in South Dakota that they can then point to, they hope obviously, to have much greater success in more populous states and in their dreams that it will sweep the nation.
Mm-hmm. And who, after this passes, would want to become a judge?
Not only who would want to become a judge, but who would want to remain a judge, who would want to serve on a school board, who would want to serve on a jury. It is, in some ways, a sort of get-out-of-jail-free card for criminals because it gives them a completely different avenue to challenge decisions that may have gone against them.
Of course, it would have to be reviewed by the courts, you'd think.
Well, that's something about which there is some dispute. That is, since it's an amendment to the Constitution and it's very cleverly written that it cannot be challenged, how will we challenge it? Certainly not in state court. Can it be challenged in federal court? Lawyers who have commented upon it are in disagreement.
We'll see. Bill Richardson, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Bill Richardson, chair of the Political Science Department at the University of South Dakota, speaking with us from the studios of South Dakota Public Radio, broadcasting in Vermilion, South Dakota. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Mark, and Mark's calling us from,
yes, sir.
Is it pronounced Iola, Wisconsin?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Our ballot is going to have on an initiative to bring back the death penalty in Wisconsin. And we really haven't heard much about it. I don't know if it's – have you heard anything on that? Or
Kareem Creighton, is that one of the things that you've been paying attention to this year?
I have to say I haven't really heard very much information about that particular initiative, but I would be curious to know whether there's been any polling done on it. Have you got any sense about what the public mood is on the effort to repeal it?
No, I haven't. And in the last couple of days now, there's a few signs popping up for it and against it, but haven't heard much at all about it.
Right. It is certainly the case that many times you'll see, you know, some perennial issues like taxing and spending, the death penalty, continue to come up in initiatives. And it's hard to predict unless there's, you know, a wave of public sentiment supporting it, what is the likelihood of it passing in an election?
Would that come back up on an election again then, if there was public was for it?
It depends. I think really even if the public opinion, you know, seems to suggest that there might be support for that kind of initiative, the real question is whether or not there are people who are organized enough and frankly well-funded enough to put something like that on the ballot, which usually requires some petitions to be signed and the like.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Here's an email we got from Paul in Columbus, Ohio. Obviously, Paul writes, several ballot issues have a political orientation, i.e. abortion rights tend to be supported by those on the left. Can we expect the result of these issues to mirror the results of the many crucial congressional races?
If the question is to me, I think it really depends. In addition to having initiatives that focus on very important, hot button issues, if you want to call them that, it really depends upon whether or not the candidates have staked out opposing views on the initiative. So in many cases, you'll see, for example, the Democrats in many states have tried to put forward initiatives dealing with the minimum wage increase. And what has happened in a number of states is that Republicans and other groups that might not necessarily support minimum wage increases in general try to either adopt legislation to get it away from the initiative or find other ways to avoid having the initiative on the ballot because they're concerned that the effects will be rather negative for their party. So it really depends on the context.
And again, as you're suggesting, this is an attempt by the parties in various states to bring out voters they suspect will be sympathetic with them, either perhaps gay marriage on the conservative side and, stem cell research on the Democratic side.
Precisely so. And again, it forces candidates on a very important public policy issue to actually take a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And in Missouri, as you mentioned, it actually creates something of a problem for the Republican candidate on the stem cell issue.
Well, let's hear a little bit more about that. Joining us is Steve Kraske, political correspondent for the Kansas City Star, host of the program Up to Date on member station KCUR. And he's with us today from their studios in Kansas City. And Steve, nice to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
So is this a hot issue in Missouri?
Boy, it's very, very hot. In fact, it's rivaling that very hot U.S. Senate race out here in Missouri between Democratic Claire McCaskill and Republican Jim Talent. That's a race that could determine the outcome of the U.S. Senate, and this stem cell issue is every bit as hot as that race is right now, Neil.
And is it clear that this was put on the ballot in an attempt to bring Democrats to the polls, or was it brought on its own merits?
I think it was brought on its own merits, at least in this case, Neil. We have a separate issue on the ballot this time around. It's a minimum wage increase proposal. I think you could argue pretty clearly that the Democrats pushed that issue to get voters from the cities out to vote in November. But the stem cell issue here in Missouri was backed by Jim and Virginia Stowers. They've put $2 billion into their research institute and into this campaign here. They are both cancer survivors. He ran a very successful mutual fund company out here. This has been his cause in his life the last 2 years and really what he's all about. I think that's the main motivation why this thing's on the ballot right now.
Let's get a caller on the line. This is Ken. Ken calling us from St. Charles in Missouri.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The big thing out here with the stem cell is that really all we really know about the issue is what the political ads have been telling us on television. On one side, the pro side is that no that this will ban human cloning, at least that's my understanding, and that all of the stem cells will be used are from eggs from fertility clinics, excuse me, that would be discarded anyway. But on the other side, they're saying that the billboard says stop human cloning, vote no on Amendment 2, and that and there's commercials now about this will allow scientists to harvest eggs from naive young women, making them unable to have children. And the more and more I think about it, is that Democrats would never have wanted this issue on the ballot right now, because it's making it out that us Democrats want to promote cloning and kill babies.
Yeah, and political ads, Steve Kraske, are rarely the most detailed and objective form of information about any issue.
Well, Neil, that's for sure. And you're hearing the word, the caller's right, you're hearing the word cloning a lot in this debate, and it's a scare word, obviously, for people who favor this legislation. You know, former Senator Jack Talent, Jack Danforth, who's a big supporter of this proposal, he says you're not talking about really cloning here, because clone cells, he says, are an extension of the patient who donates this material, you know, to create these cells. Mm-hmm. And obviously the Catholic Church and others are disagreeing, saying cloning is exactly what's going on here. U.S. Senate candidate Jim Talent just said he'd hate to be walking down the street and see himself coming the other direction. He's against this proposal. So you're hearing that kind of rhetoric when it comes to this amendment.
And the other thing that we were just hearing from Kareem Creighton, the candidates, I gather, have been forced to take positions on this stem cell issue.
I think absolutely. It's such a hot issue that very few candidates can go forward without saying something on it. Both U.S. Senate candidates are talking about it. But it's interesting, it's not been front and center in this campaign recently, Neil. Even though the polling showed strong support for this amendment a month ago, there's a sense that the polling now, that things are narrowing out here, and that perhaps neither candidate will see much of an advantage by bringing it up and talking about it very much.
And the race itself is pretty tight, too.
It's very, very tight, Neil. It's too close to call. It's a coin flip right now.
Ken, thanks very much for the call.
All right. Thank you.
And Steve Kraske, thanks for your time today.
You bet, Neil.
Steve Kraske, political correspondent for the Kansas City Star, host for the program Up to Date on member station KCUR, and he spoke with us from the station studios there in Kansas City. Of course, Kareem Creighton is still with us, and let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Dan. Dan with us from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling about a local county ballot initiative that is very closely linked to a Republican Party here. That is, it's issue 12, which calls for an increase in taxes to build a new county jail. And the Republican Party puts itself forward here locally, throughout the state, throughout the nation, I think, as the party of law and order. And so the building of a jail they see as a positive way to deal with crime.
Now they generally also advertise themselves as the party of low taxes. So,
right. Well, and the way they're handling that is they're saying they're going to finance this with a regressive sales tax that is increasing the tax on working class people, and at the same time cutting property taxes. So it's a doubly bad tax deal for most people.
I'm sure they don't describe it as a regressive sales tax. I get your point.
No, they don't. Then. They say it's a sales tax.
Yeah.
It's clearly regressive. That is a larger percentage of the income of...
I understand your point, but you're characterizing what they said, and that's not what they said. And Karine Creighton, we sometimes forget that along with the statewide ballot initiatives, like the ones that Dan's describing here, there are all kinds of local ballot initiatives as well. In fact, some of the ballots in places like Arizona and California are very, very crowded this year.
Absolutely. You'll see issues ranging from spending to issues of term limits, which actually happens to be on the ballot here in Los Angeles County, where I live. And they really do give the public an opportunity to vote on a variety of issues. But I want to make a point about two of the issues that the callers just mentioned. One of the concerns with initiatives in some cases is that the public isn't given full information. The, you know, splay of ads that you just described offer really rather bumper sticker representations of what turns out to be, in both the stem cell and the abortion debate, rather complex issues. And so some people will, you know, kind of throw their hands up and look at instead who are the people who support each one of these initiatives, who support or oppose them. And, you know, that often turns out to be a pretty good indicator of how people end up voting. But the initiatives turn out to be a very complex process when you're dealing with a very high-profile issue, but an issue that turns out to, you know, turn on a number of complex details, because a lot of people have to reduce them to rather simple terms. And the other point about initiatives is that you'll see sometimes coalitions between people who don't often agree with each other, or people on one side, like the Republicans, who are favoring spending in ways that you don't necessarily expect. So in some ways, it kind of, you know, requires a little bit more work on the part of the public to get a full account of what's at stake with each one of these initiatives, and, you know, whether they should be for it or against it.
We're talking about ballot initiatives around the country come November the 7th, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go now to Natalie. Natalie with us on the line from Davis, California.
Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Interesting. It's so complicated to vote in California. I don't think it's an opportunity. I think it's a big burden when you have a 75-page voter guide. But we're having a deja vu moment again last year and now this year. One of the things that people have to think about is parental notification for teens seeking reproductive freedom and reproductive advice. In other words, if a teenager needs an abortion and they come to the doctor without their parent, the doctor has to then notify the parent, or the teenager has to go through the court system to get a waiver through a judge.
Mm-hmm. And
it was on the ballot last year. We defeated it last year. They changed 300 out of 3,000 words, and it's back on this year.
And that, Karine Creighton, annoys some voters, evidently Natalie as well, that sometimes these issues, no matter how people vote, never go away.
Oh.
Exactly. This goes back to the point that the earlier caller brought up, that sometimes you will have a well-funded and, frankly, well-organized set of interests that continue to put these issues on the ballot, and the public has to continue to vote on it. And in a place like California, which perennially has a large number of these initiatives, people end up suffering from what people have described as ballot fatigue. When you have so many elections, people just get sick of showing up to vote on, you know, anything, ranging, again, from whether the public officials serve one term or two terms, or whether or not on a big weighty issue like abortion, whether or not parental notification ought to be required.
It is such a big distraction. This decide the proponents of this have sunk in over $2 million. Meanwhile, the opponents, which obviously I'm one of them, we have a bunch of volunteers working for groups like ACLU and Planned Parenthood to get the word out about exactly what Proposition 85 means. And it's a big distraction for us when, you know, we could be using our time and money for other things.
I think it's probably a result of the magnifying glass and reading glasses lobby, which is...
Exactly. And I think some people don't know that you can go in and just vote on the few things that they've really bothered to educate themselves about and leave other things blank and just go home.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. And finally, before we let you go, we mentioned the ballot initiative in Michigan, and where voters will decide whether to repeal a recently enacted law that allows the hunting of mourning doves.
Right. It's interesting. Sometimes you'll get, you know, somewhat local issues that kind of catch fire with the public. And when the public is outraged with a decision by the legislature, they can take it to the ballot. This is one of those examples where perhaps some would argue, public input is actually helpful because it's a very clear issue. You can either like it or not like it and register yes or no on the ballot. At the same time, you'll have people like the caller who will say there are some issues that may be best left to representative government. And that's sort of the perennial debate with initiatives and referenda.
Kareem Creighton, thanks very much for your time.
You're quite welcome.
Kareem Creighton, Assistant Professor of Law and Politics at the University of Southern California Law School, also affiliated with the Initiative and Referendum Institute at USC, with us today from the studios of our member station, KUSC, in Los Angeles. When we come back from the break, our weekly fix from the Political Junkie. If you have questions for Ken Rudin about close races, election year strategies, and the rest of the week's political news, we're going to be talking today about where the parties are inserting home stretch advertising money and where they're not. Give us a call. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.